Well, we're looking again at the book of Revelation. Tonight, we are jumping to the Revelation to chapter 15. We had come out of 14. We're heading closer. Really, when we were back in chapters 10 and 11, really, right now we're going to start ending up into what was started back then concerning the last judgment. Because we have been going through the things in these other chapters, sort of explaining things that are going on in between things that will be happening about the individuals they're dealing with and things. And we're going to come up with more of that too. We'll be finding out. But right now we're coming up looking at the final judgments that are coming on the earth. And in Revelation in the 15th chapter, verse 1, this is the Apostle John. And John says, "Then I saw and another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete." Now we understand, talking about the wrath of God, we're looking at this, we need to understand there has never been such judgments like is going to happen in these last judgments on the face of the earth. In fact, I would put it this way. I've been, you know, doing a lot of reading over this and reading over these things and doing studying. And there's one thing that just comes to me, you know, we from ourselves, we may look at different, you know, events and how bad it was, you know, different places on the earth. But there's going to be, there's nothing that we have can compare to what's going to take place here on the earth. God is not trying to turn the hearts of men. He's at the point, he's just going to essentially torture them and destroy them for the evil they have done. I can't imagine what it's going to be like in the lake of fire if this is the kind of things that happen before you go there. It's beyond me. But we find here that John said the words here, great and marvelous. But actually, if you study in the Greek these words that he used, he's making a statement here. In fact, he hasn't made this kind of statement at all. And it's interesting because he said he saw signs in heaven. He says, great and marvelous. He said, seven angels. He saw these seven angels. In other words, John said, basically what's John saying is, oh my God, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Whatever it is, we don't know what it is about them. But when he saw them, he never expressed anything else that he has seen up till this time like this. In other words, John's going, whoa, when he sees these angels. So I don't know what it is that he saw when they came out, because he said great and marvelous, and it isn't from the standpoint, they translated marvelous, but it should have been more or less, he marveled rather than marvelous. He marveled at this thing. It's like, wow, look at this. So what it was that he saw, it seems to me he's seen a lot of credible things so far. But seeing these, because he talked about certain angels and what he saw and what they did. But this here, it's like, whoa, what is this? And really, this is be something he would say just be awe-inspiring. It would be, whoa, this thing that he has just seen with these angels. And so these angels, in other words, the wrath of God is going to be completed with these. And so things have just sort of been kicking up as they go, but now they just go to a real extreme. There goes a real extreme of judgment is going on. And so this is where it comes from. Actually, where this was in Revelation in the 10th chapter is what's talked about reaching to this point, the point where the seventh angel comes out and he announced the last judgments. In Revelation 10 and verse, starting in verse 5, it says, "The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it." It says, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, and there should be delay no longer. But in the day of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished as declared to his servants, the prophets. In other words, that's when he was saying, we have arrived at this point. Now this is when this is coming to pass. The seventh angel is coming out. In other words, this is the end of this thing that he's coming to. When these judgments are carried out, Jesus Christ is coming back and setting up his kingdom. This is going to be the destruction of everything that stands against God. I don't know if you can imagine what the earth is, as we go through these, what's the earth going to be like when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom, what it's going to be like. It's sort of going to be a mess down here. Now, I'm sure maybe not every place is a mess, but there's one thing about it. It's going to be a mess over in the areas of Europe and what we call the Middle East and in those areas. It ain't going to be pretty. And then we also had in Revelation 11:15 reiterated on this saying, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world, this world have become the kingdoms of the Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's what this is about. When this comes to these last judgments, it's like, okay, this is the end of it. Jesus is coming back and setting up his kingdom. So we're at that point. Now, back in Revelation 15 and verse 2 says, and I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name standing on the sea of glass having harps of gold. And see, we can remember those back in Revelation. Revelation 14:13 said, then he heard a voice from heaven saying, me write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. So here we see them there. He tells them, in other words, they're there at this place. So what we're dealing with here is the people who are being martyred. We're seeing them. Because of this statement here, he saw in the sea of glass mingled with fire. He says the ones that had victory over there, said the image of Mark, the number of his name standing in the sea of glass. There's a great multitude. In other words, there's going to be a lot of people are going to be put to death who won't go along with the Antichrist. It's going to be a lot of people put to death. And what it is, we're talking about here in this case, victory is defined here as choosing physical death in Christ rather than physical life in the beast. This is what it's going to be. This is what people are going to have to choose. So the beast, the ones who took the number of his name or his, you know, whatever, they all took his image. So this, we're coming up now. We're heading into the end of this 3.5-year period. There's been numbers of things that have taken place. We already read of judgments and things that happen. And it's going to go much further than that. Now we have in verses, in Revelation 15 and verse 3 and 4, it says, they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations shall come and worship before you. For your judgments have been manifested. Now, the Song of Moses, there's actually two different ones that are listed as Songs of Moses. If you go back over into the, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, the first one was listed in Exodus, where they crossed the Red Sea. And it says, in Exodus 15, 1 through 4, I'm going to read that. It says, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he's become my salvation. He's my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his armies he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. So that was a song that they sang there, a song of victory. There's also a song of Moses, which really is the most lengthy one. We're not going to read that. It is in Deuteronomy 31. It starts at verse 30. Verse 31, and actually goes, the last verse it starts at in chapter 31 in verse 30 and goes through 32nd chapter from verse 1 through 43. That one there, Moses, is a song that says that Moses taught the children of Israel. This is before he goes and, he's leaving. He's going. God's going to take him up the mountains. He's going to look over into the promised land and, God, they said he died there and God buried him in the valley and nobody knows where God buried him at. Well, he gave this song, and if you go over and read that song, at first he talks about, you know, sort of like a victorious thing, but then he goes in and most of it's about you don't follow God and it ain't going to turn out pretty. So it says they sing a song there I don't know if they sang, since this is dealing the areas of judgment, these people may be singing the song about Moses said about judgment. They may be singing that. Because Moses, the majority of what he said was a warning to people not following God. And the children of Israel, don't follow God, and it ain't going to turn out pretty. And so it said they sang the song of Moses. Most writers all say, well, it was. In fact, most of them don't even mention the other song of Moses. But there's two songs of Moses. And I guess people don't like to mention the other one. But it was a song of Moses. And as God gave it to him, he wasn't speaking by his own. He was speaking by the inspiration of the spirit of prophecy when he gave those things. That was God talking. You know, when Moses went up on the, God took him up on the mountain and he looked in the promised land, it tells exactly how far he could see. It is impossible to naturally see as far as he saw. If you go up on that mountain, you could not see as far as he saw. Impossible. No man could see it. It had to be something supernatural take place that he could see. Because he saw Naphtali and all that kind of stuff. That's the distance of those places are so far away in mountain ranges and stuff. He'd never seen the things. So, God did something supernatural because he basically viewed the whole land. And there's no place in Israel you can go up on and view the whole land of Israel. Mount Everest ain't there. So, and I don't know if you're Mount Everest if you could see the whole thing. I don't know. But anyhow, so it was a supernatural event that took place that God gave them. But here we see these ones that they've been martyred. Really, death was their victory. A lot of people don't look like that. They, you know, today most the average Christian looks at like death is some kind of, you know, you missed it. Paul didn't believe it that way. He said, "Yeah, part be with Christ." And so I've come to things like, how bad is it, you know? You get to be with Jesus. Isn't that awful? Or you have to stay here. And it's like I had told, we were concerning, like when Eileen passed and that stuff, and I thought about, you know, she's with Christ and we're with Biden. You know, just like, oh, God. Ask me which one I want. It's like, we'll leave today. So back in Revelation 15 and starting in verse 5, it says, after these things, he said, I look and behold, the temple of the tabernacle, the testimony in heaven was open. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen and having their chest girded with golden bonds. So this is things heading to the completion of the wrath. These seven bowls are going to be the completion of the wrath of God poured out. And it goes on in, like in Revelation 10, actually talked about that again. It was the same things as we had read before. This is the beginning of this thing now. It's just like in Revelation 10 we read, and Revelation in 11 where we read, this is the completion. They're coming out to start this thing. So in Revelation 15:7 says, then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one was able, now listen to this, no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels was completed. This is very important. What's going to happen here at this place, at this time? We need to understand there's this event here starts, something happened that has not happened through this entire time period. That temple in heaven is closed. In other words, no one can be saved up to this, right from this point on. Nobody can be saved up to this point. See, the temple's closed. Nobody's getting in. This is the final. This is the finale. Everybody has had opportunity. Even angels preach the gospel in the earth. Everybody has had opportunity. Nobody who has the mark of the beast because what we have, the ones who are saved in the earth are already saved. The ones who are not have taken the mark of the beast, it is totally 100% impossible for them to be saved. No man can make a decision. If God is not drawing, no one can be saved. No one comes to the Son except the Father draw them. God is not drawing. At this point, it has stopped. God is no longer drawn. This is now total judgment. It's not being done to try to get somebody to turn around. It's not anything to do with that. Those who have turned, have turned. Those who have not, will not turn. The only thing they do beyond this point is curse God. That's all they do. That's all they're going to do is curse God. These people are eternally condemned. See, we don't like, it's one of the things, you know, because when people, we're used to this thing, there's many parts of God that people, you know, of the character of God, the church world has this one side or one part of God that we just like and the rest of it we don't talk about. You know, it's just like, each one of us, we have different things about our personality. You know, there's some people, certain sides of them are really nice and sometimes some of them ain't. You know, it's just, you know, your people's personality, it isn't just this one thing. Because if you have this one thing, you know, it's like this. When people go out here and they're dating and they're going in, all they talk about, they want to get married stuff, they show a part of their personality, that person. That person won't see the other, some of their personality till after they get married. You're not going to see it. They portray one side. But we can look all through Scripture. God was never like that. God has always been, we see Him, His side of judgment and dealing. We see like a dad correcting kids. Mm-hmm. See, this is one thing. It's like, I always know this from a standpoint of bad parenting. If a person says to me, you know, I'm my kid's best friend. You're a lousy parent. You ain't a parent. You're not a parent. You can't be their best friend. Mm-hmm. You know. It's just, it's just like me. When, you know, you're leading people, you can't be their best friend, or you'll never lead anybody anywhere. Because, well, you're their best friend. You won't. Everybody, you're like, well, you have your best friend. Your best friends, even in life, are not the people that are always going to be what you really need when you're in trouble. Sometimes you need the person that's going to sit down and say, you know what, you messed up pretty much here. And I say, yeah. Your best friends don't say, oh, you know, you poor thing, you cute little thing, you. And, you know, this is the best friend stuff. And you need people that can talk to you and say things. You need people, you know, it's like the people today. The Bible talks about, you know, people in the last days. He said that people, you'll have itching ears, they'll draw teachers to themselves. In other words, they want a leader, they'll draw a leader to them. You say what I want to hear, or you can't be my leader. You know, you're going to have to say what I hear. That sounds like what Americans do, and they call it a political system. You know, I'm going to vote for the guy that says I want to hear. We do that. I mean, on both parties, one is as bad as the other, you know? I always refer to the Republican Party. They're the party that says that what I want them to hear them say, but they never do it. And I don't, it's to me, they're the worst of the worst. You know, the guy that over tells me he's going to take me across, hey, at least I know where he's coming from. You don't know that guy who lied to you. I know the right thing to do, but we ain't doing it. Vote for me. I know the right thing to do. But we're coming up to this end. And this is a time that people need to understand. We're into the end of this 3.5-year period. Jesus is about to come back. And he's not coming back, you know. I am sure that people in the earth, what they have seen go on, has been a horrendous thing. And now these judgments are coming. These judgments do not fall on any of the people who are believers. These judgments are complete, a pour out on the people who have turned themselves over to the Antichrist, took, you know, his mark, whichever one they like best, you know, whatever tattoo they wanted, which was the best, I don't know. Whichever looked the nicest. And anyhow, and these folks are the ones, and this is where it's falling out. Those who are saved have already been saved, and those who have taken the mark of the beast cannot be saved. The temple in heaven's closed. At the completion of the seventh bowl, Christ is going to return. And, so in chapter 16, we go there. It begins with this. It starts off and it says in verse 1, he said, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. It says, so the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worship the image. See who it falls on? Those who have the mark of the beast. In the Bible, in basic English, says this on verse 2. It says, and the first went out, let what was his in his vessel come down on the earth, and it became an evil, poisoning wound on men who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped the image. Ones of them say it's a harmful and evil sore, some of the translations say. In other words, what's taking place here, this thing is really hugely, severely bad. I mean, these people are going to be in huge pain. Now, I want you to understand what's going on. You'll see this as we read it. This is not a judgment poured out, and this thing happens and for a period of time, and then it stops, and then another one comes. All of this stuff continues. These sores continue on these men till the end of all this is over. This is nonstop. This is not something they have sores for a few weeks. This pours out. The next judgment that falls, it's going to be another judgment that comes that will turn around. While that one, they're still dealing with all these awful sores, and it gets worse. This is what's going to happen. Now, we saw that in part, you know, in the book of Exodus. So this is a continuation. God did a similar judgment in Egypt. If you go over and read Exodus, the 9th chapter, when God had Moses take ashes from an oven and throw them in the air, and it said these sores fell upon them and that stuff. Now, those judgments, we didn't need to understand those judgments. God's judgments on Egypt were not like these judgments, like the sores and stuff. These were a period of time and stopped. God is dealing with Egypt there to get them to turn. That's not what this is. This is just total, you've done these evil things, now you get evil. You've done this bad stuff. That's what these things are about. That's what we're dealing with now. So it's totally different than the judgment of the eagle. These are to bring pain and judgment and death. They're just, and what's bad about these things is people don't die through this. It just gets, they have to live through it. They're going to live through it. Don't get any uglier than that. They're going to live through it. And it would almost be nice to die. But they're not gonna. In chapter 16, verse 3 says this, then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Now, I want you to think about this. Now, we had before a partial judgment of death. We need to understand. Now, they said this. This is what the difference is. Before it was turned into blood, this is turned into blood as a dead man. A dead person's blood will get an awful stench. A dead man's blood clots. And this is going to be gross and so foul smelling, the ocean. It's not going to be this nice little fluid running around out there. This is going to be an absolutely gross. These guys are going to have all these sores on them. They're going to have this going on. They have this blood like a dead person out there. This is going to be because one of the things is when a person dies, one of the things people say, well, you know, the gas's body starts to cave, but the blood is really gives off a really bad smell after a while. It gets a very irritating smell. Now the whole ocean does. Now, when you're talking about somebody into the sea, everything dies in the sea. If we would even take today, if you had all the sea and all these creatures died in it, you're talking about a huge part of the food chain of people is gone. And this is a huge thing. Now, this isn't bad enough. I mean, you got this thing going on out here. Everybody has these awful sores on them, and it's terrible. And nobody's feeling better, you know. The doctors ain't taking care of it. And this thing's not pretty at all. And then you have this event takes place. But if that's not enough, in verse 4 it says, then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Now the entire water supply, you've just taken a huge part of the food supply, now the water supply. This is, you know, this is going to be an awful, awful. There's just one thing he's building. God's just building one, just taking one thing away from him at a time. Just torment after torment after torment. See, this is one of the reasons why I know that a lot of ministries and ministers and churches don't like to read the book of Revelation, because they don't believe these things. They don't know this God. They think God's not to be feared. He just puts up with everything. You know, God loves you so much, he'd never let anything happen to anybody. He would just never. That's what they believe. They say these kinds of things, you know, about the love of God. Hey, God loves, but he's going to deal with things. Any parent that doesn't punish their kids doesn't love them.
Amen. Preach.
Their kid does evil and they don't punish him, they don't love him. We have this perverted love. God's love is unconditional. Say, what do you mean by that? It's unconditional. Unconditional to what? Well, they've said that so much now people believe he's unconditional. No matter what I do, he's going to love me and take care of me. He's going to love me. That's what they believe. The devil didn't start that. The church did. The church started preaching that stuff, and he do today. I hear ministers still today. They use that. Well, verse 5 says, and I heard the angel of the waters. Listen to what he says. You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. For it is their just due. And I heard another angel from the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. In heaven, they're cheering him. And I will guarantee you, in heaven, those ones that have been martyred are going to be cheering him for what is taking place to these people on the earth. Oh, I mean, we here have in the earth, my words, a person murders people and we don't believe you ought to put him to death. I mean, Christians say, no, that's cruel, that's bad to put him. They don't know God. Heaven's cheering this stuff. I'm convinced the church is one of the most ignorant groups in the world concerning their own religion and their own beliefs. Yep. See, this is why it's hard for people to read this stuff, because they don't recognize, because their God is not the God of the Bible. It's a Christianity that's been developed out of parts of the Bible that make me, you know, just, this is the way he is. No, he isn't. One of the big things is about there is no fear of God anymore. There's no fear of anything happening if something does wrong or that. That's what we're living in today. It's out here. I mean, people have no fear to do evil. Why? I mean, you commit a crime today, and you know there's people walking the streets have murdered other people, and they're let out without bail to walk the streets. That's being good to people today. That's what's called being good. The families who had people stole out of their lives. I mean, you think about it, this kind of thing's going on, and they get no justice whatsoever. Yep. No justice whatsoever. I mean, it's the craziest. You know, we've had like 12 million people cross, 12 million people cross our border that we're paying for. Oh, they have it bad in their country. Oh, so come and make it bad here. It's like, what on earth is going on here? We have the insanity going on. One thing is going to happen. There is going to be justice in this land. When the church leaves, these evil people have allowed this, and these people that just run into other people's lands, wait till they find out what happens to them. Amen. Wait till they see. Wait till they see what happens. Because I'm going to tell you, God will bring justice. God will bring justice. He will do it. See, we don't recognize this kind of a God. People do unjust things. The Bible said that in the end times, people were going to call evil good and good evil. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to talk to somebody who comes illegal in our country. You're not allowed to call them an illegal. Oh, no. No, we're supposed to say, oh, you poor little thing. You just come in here and take over. 65% of them would come in and were on our welfare system. See, anybody who thinks it good, I hope they tax people so bad they ain't got enough to live on. You can't keep doing that with all these people. It is insanity. But see, this is what we're living, this is the things we're living in today. Well, God's going to deal with these things. Well, it goes on here. It says, we read about when the fifth seal was opened, that these things back in Revelation in the sixth chapter had said about the fifth seal. Now, this is all the events we've been looking at has been going down to this, toward what was going to take place when the fifth seal was opened. This is running to the end of the things. And in chapter 16 and verse 8, it says, the fourth angel poured his bowl on the sun. And the power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over their plagues, and they did not repent and give glory to him. So here we go now. Now, the sun's scorching the men, what do you think is happening to the rest of the plant life and everything stuff going on? Well, they're not all. The rest of the food goes. Everything else starts going. It's getting better. Things are improving nicely. See, this is, they still have the sores. The ocean's still dead, and all the rest of the water's blood. They still got this. I mean, they're out there, and they got this nice blood stench going on that you can't get away from. And all this stuff's happening. Now, the sun's scorching people on the earth. This is definitely going to be, they'll find out what global warming really is. And all that they spent, they're going to deal with, and can't fix it. You know, you can't fix it. Wages of sin is death. But what happens to them? See, we said, do they repent? No, they don't repent. And they're not, see, people say, I don't understand they don't repent. You need to understand, God's not drawing them to anything good. They're not being drawn to good. These men are stuck in evil. I really thought this was interesting because I read a couple, you know, instances of different people that were where God had taken them in vision down to hell to show them what hell was like. Brother Hagin was one that did, but I read some other people. And I really thought it was very interesting because they, in doing that, these people talked about the fact like people in hell. They saw different people. One saw people that they knew, and others were in different instances. They talked to people, and people who were in hell were in this torment, but they would just curse God. See, one of the things people understand about this: there is no friends in hell. There's nothing. There's none. The love of God's not there, and those people are not affected by it. They're lost in that condition. They're not being drawn, you know, to anything, to good. I mean, I always thought about this with the rich man Jesus talked about and Lazarus. The rich man, what is he doing? He says he's in torment. Now he wants to go back and tell the people on the earth, go tell my brothers, you know, so they don't come here. He says, go get Lazarus and tell him to come and get water and, you know, put it on the tip of my tongue. And I said, this guy, he's not changed at all. Lazarus is still some slave and ought to do something for him.
Yep.
An unchanged person. This is one thing. We're going to be unchanged people. They were evil on the earth and are going to be evil when they go there. Mm-hmm. This is what's going to happen. They're going to be the same. He was the same. Yeah, look at Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom resting. He said, Father Abraham, go get Lazarus and tell him to come over. And then Lazarus, you send somebody back and tell the guys back here. Here he is still like, you know, I'm going to tell everybody what to do. I'm going to see, as dumb as he was on the earth, he's that dumb down there in torment forever. He's probably down there right now trying to tell people what to do. So the Antichrist, his followers, you know, isn't they curse God for what's happening, but they followed this Antichrist. They followed this guy who said he was God. He can't stop this. He can't deal with it. You see, when if you look at the Egypt, up to the time of dealing with the sores that they get, the sorcerers were doing the same thing that Moses was doing. When he turned the water to blood, he did the frog things. They did those things. But when they did the sword things, the Bible says that the swords came on the sorcerers. they told Pharaoh, hey, this is the real thing. This guy, this is God dealing with it. Pharaoh, no, this is, they told him, hey, this is God. So they knew that they weren't dealing with God up to that time. They're dealing here now. This is God doing these things. God's bringing these things on these people. But see, we understand this, and we from 2 Thessalonians said this, and 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, talks about this, the lawless one, the ones that they're following. And in verse 9 in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan and all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, now it says, for this reason, God will send them strong delusions that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. God condemned them to this way of believing. They can't get out of it. They chose that way, and God basically sealed them to it. They're sealed to this thing. They can't get out of it. They had all this opportunity. Opportunity. They never can stand before God and say, we didn't know. They had no in front of them the whole time. But they chose a direction. This is one of the things that people need to understand. I have learned this in life. Never believe that you can keep resisting God and you'll always get away with one. You can always turn anytime. That's one of the great false beliefs today. The Bible says about Pharaoh that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Did you know how God hardened Pharaoh's heart? Just the way people's hearts get hardened today. God will keep giving you the truth and you reject it, and He'll keep giving you the truth. And every time you reject it, your heart gets harder. And He'll let you get over the hard heart, and He'll just keep feeding you the truth and let you get harder and harder. Well, you'll get to the point you couldn't believe it if you wanted to. You couldn't believe the truth if you wanted. You have hardened yourself against the truth. The Bible calls it, Paul talked about it, like cauterizing your heart. Just like a wound's cauterized to stop the bleeding. Your heart gets cauterized. In other words, nothing in or out. It stays the same. See, what is true can be your enemy if you don't receive it. Can be your worst enemy. What is true can be end up being your greatest enemy if you don't receive it. It wasn't supposed to be your enemy. It could get you out of it. But it comes your enemy because you've taken it against it till after a while. It's a thing that just, it hardens you so much. I remember Kenneth Hagin talked about it in really a very sad way. A woman that he knew who was born again, her mother was dying, and she asked Kenneth Hagin if he would come and talk about her. She's dying. She has never accepted Christ. She's always been against Christianity. She's always talked terrible, cursing it, doing all this stuff. Kenneth Hagin said, he went there, and he said this woman was in bed. And he said she was dying. And he said she was in a place of darkness. And he said he realized, he said she was unreachable. He said she had hardened her heart so much she would not listen to the truth. She couldn't hear it. She couldn't hear it anymore. He said she dying and knowing she was slipping off into hell and she was scared, but she couldn't repent. So that's a horrible thing. That's why people need to know. It's like, you know, they said, you want to keep playing games. This is why I don't like the way things are preached today. Because they give people like, oh, you can just always, you know, anyway, whenever you decide you just want to make a turn, you can just turn. I'm sorry. There's people who harden their hearts and slip off, and they will never be reached. They'll never be reached. Because they determined. They determined. They don't like it. I don't want it. You know, it's even for a Christian on things that are good. Just any idea of faith works like that. There's people, and I've dealt with them already, who they have spoken against healing and healing so much, and they're Christians. There ain't no way to get them healed. There ain't no way to do it. You can't get it. I've had God tell me people, don't bother. You're wasting your time with them. They're not. They have set themselves against it. They're just hard against it. They cauterized themselves in their heart against it. by listening to doctrine, wrong things, till they took a belief and they refused to turn from it. See, we need to know, this is one of the things, we're always people jumping like it's on God's side, is God's doing this or God's doing that. No, the power that we have. You have power over your own heart. God gave it to you. We have power over our heart, what we let in or don't let in. That's our heart. That God. God don't determine that. We do. We determine what we let in, and this is where people need to know, as we come to the point of what I let in or don't let in, it's about us. Is, you know, getting in that point is, you know, where God's trying his best to bless people and he can't because they have hardened themselves over time and you can't get the truth into them. Because I've dealt with people that they come along and they want to understand about healing. But you know what? They forsook it for so long and out here, and now they're at a point in their life, it's too late. They're too close to death to really turn the corner to do anything. Their heart's not ready to receive anything. See, people don't realize it. It's about their own hearts, not about God. God didn't set any of that. They do with their own lives. And that's why, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he's near. That's not a nice little religious statement. That is a truth of fact. When he's near, you better call, because one day he will not be. And you're going to call and there'll be no answer because you have set yourself. You ain't going to be able to hear. You couldn't hear if he yelled. Call upon him. When God's talking to you, and that's what is a thing to do, as we do as people. Those things are put in Scripture. They're not to harm us. Really, those things are warnings to people. And we need to understand how important that those things are. It's not about God. Jesus took the sin for the whole world. There's not one person who is going to be who's going to be under this judgment that we're talking about, that Jesus didn't die for them. He took their sin. But you know what? Why are they there? They're not there because of sin. Sin ain't the problem. They refuse Christ.
Amen.
They refuse Christ. They refuse Christ. They don't want him. We don't want this Christ. We don't want him. I don't want him Lord nor my life. I want my life. I want to have my life. I want to do what I want. And that's what the problem is. These people are going off into this judgment, but not at all because Jesus hadn't died for them. God went as far as sending angels to preach. They won't even listen to angels preaching. Things are going to be crazy. You have two prophets that are bringing judgment on the earth as often as they want to. They're listening to none of it. The Antichrist can't stop them. They're just, these things are going on. But they keep marching. Terrible. It says in Revelation 16:10 says this. Let me go over here. We'll do this one. So it says, then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. And in his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. They're going out. See, they didn't repent. They never went and repented of their deeds. This is the idea. God's trying to get them to repent here. No, they're in this condition because of refusing to repent. They're in this condition because of this. God in the ninth plague of Egypt in Exodus 10, if you go read in 21 and 22, we have the darkness fell upon the land. This is darkness. It says this darkness is not just like a regular darkness that fell upon them. This is not just dark. You know, it isn't like the sun quit shining. Men can't see. They're all completely blind. This darkness is like a prevailing weight over. You know, they tell you if you take a person like you, total darkness, and take an individual, like they say, if you put them in a cave where they're actually complete darkness, you can't see a thing. They said the average person will go insane. If you can't get them in the light after a short period of time, most people will go insane because it wears on you. This is even different than that. This is a darkness with a weight of pain and everything on top of what they're doing. It said, you know, they gnaw their tongues because of the pain. In other words, this darkness amplifies the pain and stuff that they're in from their sores and all this stuff. It is just a compound worse upon worse. They're gnawing at the tongues. In other words, they're biting their own tongues. They're in so much pain. You can hardly imagine it. Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 30, he said, he cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, this is a spiritual lost condition. This is not just a natural condition that's going on. The darkness that's been in them is being amplified outward. See, like me, I can't put my head around what this is actually like. I don't have nothing to compare all this to. People have gone through bad things, but this is the grievous sores. You got the water's blood, clotted, stench, and the sun's burning, and the food supply is gone, and there's no drinking water. And then you get this darkness that just, it magnifies it all. It just... So we're going to stop there. The next time we pick up, we'll pick up and we'll come into this, which deals with the sixth seal, which goes on. But I want you to get a hold of this. This is why these are things that are put in the Bible. God gave this letter to warn people. We need to warn people what's coming on this earth. Right now, I mean, there's things that as we go on, I will read to you some. There's a number of things to read to you about. Stuff goes on. Is one of the things is we're dealing with demonic junk going on in the earth and this stuff going on. I mean, we're dealing with things now, I mean, are being set up for this Antichrist system. The Pope now, he's getting rid of anybody that's really outspoken about abortion in the, you know, in the Catholic Church. He's getting rid of the cardinals, and now he's, you know, he just had the thing where he said the people who are, you know, the trans and all these kind of people, they can be, you know, baptized, and they can, for the Catholic Church will okay them to adopt children. And now he said the gay marriage. He said, no, we can't do the gay marriage, but he said, we can bless them. We can't marry them, but we'll bless them. I will guarantee you. I doubt it won't surprise me very much within the year they'll be marrying them. I don't care what anybody says. People may not like him, and I don't mind having it on recording. This guy's demonic. God told me he was, and he is. He's a deceiver. He's already gotten rid of cardinals here in the United States because they won't go along with him because he doesn't follow Scripture. And he ain't going to follow Scripture. He's not going to. He's going to become more and more pagan. He's pushing things toward the harlot system. And we're going to really, well, the Scriptures go into that, and we'll go into that a lot about that stuff and a little bit of history. We'll go into things on history of that this system and that stuff. This system started thousands of years ago. If the Antichrist system is not a new thing. It's always been in the earth and it's working. Yeah. And it's been getting into the church and filtered into the church back probably right after the apostles, a few hundred years after the apostles, this stuff started coming into the church, and the church world has had it in. And we get church, people in the church world today are getting into it more and more, into Christianity, calling it Christianity, and we're getting into more and more things. You know, because when I watched the things when they started having, when you go to seeker friendly, that's exactly what the Pope's doing, the seeker friendly. The seeker friendly church, they're moving into these areas. They're moving into these areas of darkness. They're moving into these places. We draw men. No, God draws men. We don't.
Amen. That's right.
We don't do that. Okay. You know, I'm going to leave drawing men to God. I don't think Ed would do a good job. I'd draw the wrong people. I remember Kenneth Hagin saying this and telling us, he said, if God would have given me the gift of healing and I would operate it, he said, I'd have healed all the wrong people. God's wise, and we don't want to, you know, there is a real humbling that we have to do before God, because there's times that I've really wondered about things with God. You know, you'd think, well, boy, why didn't that change? Or why didn't this? Or why didn't that? But I get myself over to the thing, look, God understands what's going on. He knows. And some of you just got to turn things over to His hand. That's not always the easy thing to do, but it's always the right thing to do.
Amen.
See, God, I don't understand why, but I don't understand. If anybody's going to do right, he is. If I can't see that or go to that, there's no way I can follow him as God. I can't be judging him at the same time believe he's, if he's God. Well, I'd end up hating him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't do that. I have to believe what the scripture says. He's all wise. Mm-hmm. He sees what Ed can't see. He understands what I can't understand. He knows so much more than I know about things. And it's just like, I can just thank him for the revelation I do get or the insight I do get, but we just have to leave it at that. And when I look at the book of Revelation, God is righteous and he's true and he's right. And anybody argues about this, they're liars. He's right and he's true and he's just.
Amen.
And anybody can say anything they want. I'm sorry, he's right. Any other opinion that I have, it's wrong.
Amen.
That's it. It doesn't matter. Because I come to the thing, I surely don't know everything. You know, we don't know the hearts of everybody or what they're doing and that stuff. You know, one thing is I am really impressed though, is there are some major people who have come along, who people thought in the world would never make it, and people who are turning to Christ. I mean, I hadn't heard of the guy before because, I mean, I don't follow a lot of this, different kinds of music, but a guy, I don't know if you've heard the guy down in Puerto Rico who's, he's not as real big here as big in the United States, but he's very big worldwide. And he just, got born again and he just retired from his music industry. He's going to go full time into the gospel preacher. It's like, and he's not the only one. There's others have been doing this or leaving. See, God's reaching people. There's one thing is that, you know, don't look at who's ever seems to be the worst, whether God can reach them or not. Should I tell you who the hardest people to reach are? Religious people. Mm-hmm. Religious people. I found, when I used to do like street ministry and all that kind of stuff, I would find anybody who had any kind of religious holds on different kinds of thing in their religions, they were always the hardest to reach. The people who were just, you know, didn't give much of a care about God, just don't want to live in their life, they were much easier to minister and preach to than the ones who thought they had knew something and they had things, and they were just a hard time, especially somebody who's been really indoctrinated. You can't, once they believe they're okay and what they're in, it's very hard. If God can't open the door to the thing, you ain't getting it open. You can just do whatever you want. You can't, that's just, you know, if they know, I mean, it's just God, and you know, God knows whose heart can be opened and who can't. You know, when I was unsaved, before I got saved, I was one of the hardest time in my life. I mean, I wasn't moving toward God at all. I wasn't moving in that direction. God knows what gets a hold of an individual. One of the things is finding that is not yourself trying to do that. Let God do that. Reach the individual. You know, too many people drive a person out trying to drive to somebody who's close to them. It's the worst thing you can do. If you were any good at it, they would already been listening to you. They're not going to. You need to understand that individuals, that people don't want to admit that somebody around them is right. Somebody's have to come along. They're not listening. And that's where God has to send somebody along. If somebody who would ever do, however work, let God put a situation or do something, but let God work that thing out. One of the things to do is lay a thing down. The more Christians tried to get to me, the harder I got. They didn't realize, you know, you're not hard all the crazy Christians. I've watched all the crazy Christians. and you sit and watch and say, okay, God has to deal with an individual and you got to come to that point to let God deal with people. The Holy Spirit, God uses the Holy Spirit to draw people. And, you know, we can, it's one of the things like they taught us at Rhema. I remember the one class we had, they said don't go to the people that, you know, you might feel like different people say, well, I feel I'm called to a certain group of people, or I'm called to a certain place, or maybe on the mission field, or I'm called to a certain city, and I'm going to go there, start a church. They said, don't you go there till God sends you. Because if you go beforehand, you'll probably ruin everything. It'll never work. Why? Because God has to do the drawing and get the stuff. We don't. See, we're too much of a people of make it happen. This is Americans. We're going to make it happen. You know, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And many times it takes God. And I found with people. There's people. My brothers and sisters, I never did do any preaching to them. I knew they weren't going to listen to it. They listen. I'm your younger brother. He don't know nothing. They're also genius. You know, they know. And I just learned. I don't pay no attention. I didn't do it. I just lived my life. God told me because the life that I lived, He said, because you did what I told you to do and walked where I told you to walk, He said, I'm going to bring your brothers and sisters in. I didn't have to go preach at them. See, it's one of the things is doing what God has you do. We're many times trying to get God, we're trying to do something God didn't call us to do because we see there's a need. This is, I have heard this so many times when I was in different ministers' conferences and different things. And these ministers say this all the time. And I think about it. They're so stupid. If you see a need, meet it. Well, who's the need maker? Satan.
That's right.
My ministry is to follow Satan. The need, he makes a need, so you go try to fix the need. Well, he'll just lead you by the nose every place that he goes. No, we follow God. I'm not called to meet every need.
That's right.
And neither are any of you. You can't. Your life will get worn out. They're going to bury you in a couple years. You can't. This is the church trying to fix everything. The average minister only lasts about 4.5 years. Wow, they go out here and try to take care of everything. I'm sorry, you can't do it. That ain't my job to take care of everybody. Heck, goddamn take care of them. What the heck's Ed going to do? What you do is you do what God tells you to do in your part. That's yours. Do that. Don't go do that, whatever. You know, the ones there, if God isn't moving in an area and stuff, do something. God, you know, you might see something. God, you know, pray God to do something there. But let Him do something there. He has to deal with it. Dealing with people. I found out, you know, as I'm dealing with people, you just can't deal with them. I just ignore it and go, you know. Some people, well, you ought to do something about that. Well, if you're heal somebody, why don't you go do it? You're the one called. You act like it doesn't mean to be done. I don't. Ain't my job. Hey, I ain't doing God's job. I tried that already. It don't work.
Amen.
I found out real quick I wasn't God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So at least enjoy your Christianity. Don't wear yourself out. You can't do God's part. We just do our part.
Mm-hmm.
And let God deal with people. You know, one of the biggest things is just praying for people. Pay Him, you know, ask God, draw somebody and bring someone around, whoever that person is. Bring someone across their path. If you need to send a Holy Ghost or an angel, do whatever you need to do, God. Reach that individual. Do something to them. Talk to them. You know, you just go there. It's like with me, the more Christians came to me, the more they aggravated me, the more it just got worse. Didn't help. And you know what? It frustrated them. So the guy came to me and said, you know, this guy I thought to get to see him, get saved. Well, I knew this. See, frustrate themselves trying to reach people. Frustrate themselves. They don't preach the gospel because they like it. They're frustrated at it, trying to do God's job. They're going to people they ain't called to. They're doing all this kind of stuff out here, you know, wearing themselves out. And then end up with the people they were trying to get saved saying, I never did think it'd ever work for you. That's what I told him. I said, well, I know you weren't praying for me. You thought I was done. Nah. The hardest ones sometimes to reach are some of the nicest people. But they think they're nice. They don't need God. They're nice. I'm doing good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God comes after the ones sometimes that you just... And it always is. Like, you know, I was thinking about that guy. Here he is, over a singer. He's very popular, making all kind of money, worldwide popular, accepts Jesus and just throws it right out the window and goes home and preaches the gospel. That's Jesus. I mean, I'm just thinking, like, isn't that something? See, that's a changed life. God dealt with that man. It wasn't some people doing some religious junk. God dealt with that man, and now he's a different person. He's not the same guy anymore. I said, man, I can understand that. That's a different guy. Hallelujah. That's God's working. Hallelujah. He didn't get saved and say, man, we got to make more songs out here. I'd make some more bucks. And keep going. Yeah, we got to get more in this here things in the world. Glory to God. Father, we just want to thank you tonight. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord God. God, I thank you just for opening our eyes to see and understand.
Amen.
that you're God and we're not. The more I see, Lord God, that we need your help, we need you, Lord God, to give us wisdom and understanding. But Lord God, we just need to trust you. We're in a damn time, and Lord, so many things seem to be falling apart, but you're still God. And you're still the God that knows how to take care of your people. And you know who's yours. Hallelujah. Lord, there's many Christians that have walked off and walked away from things, but you still know who's yours. Hallelujah. And Lord God, Lord, you'll go after those ones. You'll keep calling. You'll call them. Hallelujah. And I just want to say thank you, Lord God. You know how to reach people. You know what to do. And Lord God, you know who to send across their path. You know what to do. Hallelujah, whatever it might be, not a person. Maybe they would just hear something, whether it be on the radio or whatever else it be. Maybe you would send an angel to them. Hallelujah. Whatever would happen and take place, maybe the Holy Spirit would just speak to their hearts. Lord God, that an awakening going on. Whatever it might be, Lord God, I thank you we can trust you putting people into your hands. Hallelujah. Because you're a great God.
Amen.
You're a great God. And if anybody loves him, you do love them, Lord God. Oh, Lord. And just thank you, Lord God. Thank you for saving us. And Lord God, thank you in these times revealing to us these things through your scripture. Father, use us in these days and time. Lord God, because we sure do want to bring blessing to this earth. Lord, there's enough curse going on. We want to bring blessing. And we thank you, Father God, for anointing us and helping us to bless. Lord God, is to do good even when people doing evil. Hallelujah. Lord, do not quit loving. Just keep walking. Hallelujah. We're going to love people no matter how they act or what they do. Hallelujah. We're not going to throw them under the bus. We're just going to keep walking along. Hallelujah with Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.